Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Barcelona is going to ban Airbnb in an attempt to try and help house prices. And the mayor says it's going to be outlawed in 5 years' time. The city has, of course, reported rent increases, something we're well familiar with too, up to about 70%. And you put that against the backdrop of the rising wave of public protest against mass tourism that's been happening right across Spain. George is with us on the line in Clare today. George, just tell us a little bit about your situation, first of all.
Well, I live in County Clare, and I believe we have the second highest ratio to houses on daft and Airbnbs to let in the country. And although I would be the one to say that Airbnb is not the cause of the housing crisis, it definitely affects the west of Ireland more than anyone else. And I live in a mobile home, even though I've got quite a well-paid job, because I'm a parent, so I have to live with my daughter, and I can't house share. And there are approximately, I haven't checked lately, but last time I checked, there were 12 houses for rent on daft, and then over 750 or something Airbnbs to rent in County Clare.
So 750 Airbnbs. And how many rental properties did you mention at the time that you were looking?
12 or something.
12.
On daft. Now, let's take that with a grain of salt, because some of those Airbnbs are pods, and there are more ways to get a house than just daft. But still, that is an outrageous ratio. I'm sure you can agree.
Can we really blame Airbnb, though, for the fact that there is such a shortage of supply?
As I said, it is not the cause of the housing crisis. But, like, why do we not enforce our existing regulation with Airbnb? Like, I actually do a lot of work with Catu. We're a tenant organization across the country. And we get complaints of people getting evicted, landlords not signing HAP, and threatening to basically put Airbnb into people's houses. So I've had first-hand account in the union of this happening to tenants in County Clare. And, yeah.
So this is an experience through
the
organisation.
Like,
yeah, it's not... Okay, so this is an experience you're aware of in the organisation that you're working in. Just to park that for a moment, though, your point is that it's not, of course, it's not solely to blame, but you think that it is a contributory factor.
Yes, and let me just say that an outright ban, I actually disagree with, because I am aware it's a form of income for people who have, like, let's say, pods on their land, because that is not taking a house off the market. And an outright ban would be extremely unpopular, and it seems to be a bit of a jump, like, let's say, enforce the regulation before we start banning it. Do you know? Like, I'm sure the next person on will say that it's my property, I can do what I want. But let's take the example of Uber, right? I own a car. I can't do Uber in Ireland because it is banned to protect the taxi industry. What is the difference to the tenants in Ireland when we have, like, a serious housing problem with the growth of the far right, people blaming immigrants, when this is not the cause? We have, like, when housing is used as a commodity and not a home, we're going to have a serious problem. And Airbnb is a cause in the west of Ireland.
Do you agree with that, Alan? Alan is with us on the line in Kildare. Do you agree with George, Alan?
No, I've got his point. He might find, yeah, it is my house, I can do what I want. And if I want to rent it out with Airbnb, that's my choice. It's my house, I pay for it, I can do what I want. If regulations are failing people, well, then they need to take it up with the regulators, they need to take it up with the politicians. So let's not go after Airbnb providers, because they're an easy target when some of our biggest landlords in this country are politicians. So people should need to go and have a conversation with their local politician rather than the person who's trying to build a pension fund for themselves or whatever it may be. It's their property, their choice. And listen, for me, Uber should be in this country as well. We should have Uber, because we just don't have enough taxis servicing areas at the moment either. So,
even though Uber effectively it is here, but only in the sense that it operates as a regular taxi, isn't it? And free now, really.
Yeah, token gestures is all the government have when it comes to Uber, and we should have Uber here. Because you can't get taxi. Well, I know we're going to a different subject, but we can't get taxis that late at night when you probably could pick up an Uber quite quickly.
What about George's point, though, around the number? I know he's talking about Clare because that's where he's living. You know, when you've got the guts of over 750 properties available for rent in Airbnb and just 12 available for long-term tenancies. Like, there's a massive discrepancy, Alan.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't want the hassle of long-term rentals and the grief that can bring with you. Roof. People having their properties destroyed, people renting out to one family and finding out there's six or seven families living in the same property, and so on. There's a lot of that stories going on, but we don't want to talk about those stories. Let's not talk about them because, you know, renters are never to blame for anything. But again, it's not a person's fault. If I have a second house and I want the Airbnb out, that's what I will do. It's mine and that's what I will choose to do.
I would have thought it was actually an awful lot more hassle to do Airbnb than have a long-term tenant.
I wouldn't think so. It's more, probably more money in it than having long-term. So you're going to have to deal with half. You're going to have to deal with people not paying. You're going to have to deal with going through solicitors to get your money back or your property is damaged. When people are Airbnb, they're paying straight away, so they're paying up front for the use of your property.
You can see, George, why a lot of people are looking at, if they have a second property, for whatever the reason, for a lot of them it might have been an accidental reason, why they're opting for Airbnb.
An accidental reason. Well, like, I know why you would do it. If you have a second home and you can get a month's rent in less than a week, of course it's going to happen. Do you know? But, like, we have to... regulation is here. It's just not enforced because local authorities do not have resources to monitor such a thing. And, like, yeah, he wants... Like, I get his point of, you know, trying to... it's his home, his choice. But like, I think my analogy is fair. Like we have, if you don't want to put it on the market, that's fine. But like, if he's making so much money and it's like affecting local, like we had tourism before Airbnb, right? So like we were told tourism industry is under pressure and but the Airbnb adds to it. Like it costs the state money to subsidize the industry. Like Lower VAT for hotels is a cost to the state. Like we had hotels working before Airbnb, I think my point is very valid with like regulation being put in place, basically. Yeah.
The point around regulation, though, Alan, you do agree with that, though? That
yeah,
it needs to be better enforced.
I fully agree with regulation across every part of this country because it's something we don't do. We don't do regulation correctly and we don't do enforcement laws correctly because we're afraid to. But what we then have to understand is why there's a shortage. Again, is government decisions and things that, and we won't get into other conversations because we could be here all day. The decisions they make, it means there's no hotels for people to go for a holiday away if a family can't afford to go abroad. So they will look at Airbnb. And again, we can look back at political decisions that also play into this. And until we take a holistic view, we deal with everything in silos at the times. We don't want to connect the dots because connect the dots tells you the full story. And a lot of this will lead back to, again, poor regulation and then politicians taking the correct decisions.
Paul is on the line in Galway. Paul, how difficult is it to rent a property there?
Well, it's next to impossible. I regularly get updates on daft.ie. I get maybe three or four per day. I get an alert on my watch, my sports watch, and by the time 75% of them, by the time I have looked up that ad, the property is no longer available. And what I'm hearing, these are not cheap rentals now either. You're looking at $2,000 to $2,500 per month for a two-bedroom apartment in the Salt Hill or Newcastle area in the west side of Galway. But what I'm finding now as well is anecdotally, I'm hearing that people are ringing up as soon as he has become available or they're on a waiting list and they're offering over that just to secure the property. So if somebody's looking for $2,000, they might offer $2,400. And it's just impossible, really, because a huge amount of the property in Galway is let to students and then Airbnb'd in the summer.
Mm. But there are houses that wouldn't be on the market for long-term rental anyway, though, Paul.
Well, I think the attraction for, and you can't blame landlords for this, but the attraction of having students for 9 months and then earning extra money on the Airbnb for 3 to 4 months or 5 months in the summer, it doesn't incentivize landlords to let for year-round rents to people who are long-term renters. And it just makes it incredibly difficult to find a place, let alone to pay for it afterwards. It's just it's becoming an impossible situation for many people who are professionals like myself and earn plenty. I mean, I can't complain. I'm very lucky in that I have a very small flat at the moment, but it's not really practical in the longer term.
What about, to Alan's point, your house, your choice?
I agree with that to a certain extent. There's nothing to stop somebody renting their house privately. What I do think is, though, we need to avoid the situation that's come to light, for example, in places like Barcelona, but more closer to home, Cornwall, and even closer to home to me here in Galway, Roundstone, where locals can't afford to live in their own area anymore because people have second homes that they either stay in for a couple of weeks of the year or they Airbnb let them as well. Now, Roundstone, I'm on the board of Forum Connemara here in Galway myself, the development board, and Roundstone, there is no future for young people there because they're just never going to be able to find or afford a property in their own locality.
Airbnb income does not get a tax break or any government support. It is taxed as income, is the point from this listener. Another, Mike and Claire says, the elephant in the room, nobody wants to talk about bad tenants. My friends all do Airbnb because of bad tenants and you can't get them out. The law's on their side. And that is a reason why so many people opt for Airbnb. Lorna's with us on the line. Lorna, I believe you are an Airbnb host. What is the advantage to doing Airbnb?
There's huge advantages. If you take my situation, I'm living in County Clare. I have a granny flat attached to my home in my garden. It will never, ever enter the long-term housing market as it's in my garden. And I use it for my grandchildren and my children when they come to stay and for family who come down from Dublin.
Okay.
If I were to long-term rent it, I would have somebody here all the time. If I had problems with those tenants, it could be incredibly difficult. I would be walking into my garden and they would be there. So I Airbnb it for the season, if you like, 4 or 5 months of the year. And I've just been listening in to the other speakers and the other guests. And it was interesting, some of the points they were making. I mean, there's so many myths out there that Airbnb hosts that we're making, you know, in a week what we would make in a month on long-term lets. In some cases, people are, our hosts are. But remember, we're only hosting for a few months of the year. The income I make, I've made no secret of it, I make between 10 and 15,000 euro a year. This is my full-time job. It enables me to stay at home with my younger children. There's not many people out there who can say that they're working full time for only 10 or 15 grand a year. So that is one of the big myths. One of the other ones is that the registration and the new legislation, which is being introduced, it's being hugely welcomed by hosts all over the country. It is a European directive. You know, we have to introduce it. But when the European legislation was all formalised last month, there was no mention in that legislation that planning would be required. We're now being told that all hosts across the country must register. When we register, we will be given 6 months in which to produce our change of use planning. Most of us, and I can guarantee you this, most of us will not be able to get that planning because properties are old. They won't meet the current regulations.
The standards. Okay. So that will actually put an end to a lot of the people who are currently doing Airbnb, Lorna. So then, will it?
It actually says it on the Fall to Ireland website. They've actually said that, well, I had written it down, their exact words were that the majority of hosts either do not have or will not be able to acquire planning. So this is something which hosts have been really, really worried about. So we've actually formed the Irish Airbnb Host Alliance, and we have over 3,000 hosts now. And the majority of them are what we refer to as genuine Airbnb hosts. We have a lot of mothers, who particularly single mothers, who rent out one, sometimes two bedrooms in their own homes. They will be required to register. We have a lot of people who go on a two-week holiday every year, or they might take two holidays a year, and they let their house whilst they are gone. Again, they're going to be required to register. This register, there's also other issues around GDPR, all of our names, our air codes, they will all be freely available, which, you know, brings up a number of security issues. So the registration will affect everyone from home sharing to entire properties.
So aside from the fact that some people won't qualify and will no longer with this register, Lorna, be able to do Airbnb because of some of those things you've talked about, it might actually push others out. They just might decide to stop doing it.
But it's going to push the genuine hosts out, like myself. Let's take the scenario that I can no longer host. I'm going to be down between 10,000 and 15,000 a year. At the moment, I am paying revenue every year. We have an accountant because I'm terrified. I want to do this all correctly. Every year I pay my taxes that are due. So the money I am now currently paying into the system is going to come out. All of the revenue that my Airbnb generates for the small town I live in here in West Clare, that will all be gone. And I will actually be approaching the government to say, OK, I now need help financially. Maybe I'll now qualify for a medical card. Maybe I will now need social welfare because I am now unemployed.
OK. Stay with us, Lorna, if you don't mind for a moment. I think we've got Anne with us on the line as well. It's 1800 453 106. Anne, why did you get in touch?
I got in touch, Andrea, because I'm in a very nice small development apartment. It's my home, and we've somebody who told us that they sold their apartment, which they didn't, and started Airbnb. So we have people arriving at all hours of the evening. I bought an apartment because I'm quite nervous. I was broken into several times in my home.
Okay.
So we don't know who has the code for our main hall door, and it's just awful. Coming up to your own apartment and you're meeting all these strangers. My security is gone, like all of my neighbours. And there is just no consideration for us. It's horrific, absolutely horrific. That's the other side of it, Andrea.
And that's in a situation in an apartment complex, Anne, obviously, where you're living and somebody who has an apartment is now using it or Airbnb in the apartment.
Yes,
and
didn't consent us at all. And doing students out of accommodation because I'm not allowed to say where it is. It's a small development, and we've reported her to Airbnb, and she wasn't registered. The next step will be I will be reporting her to the tax man if it continues. I don't care anymore. And my security has gone with the noise in the evening.
And is there much noise, Anne? Is it an inconvenience?
You're nervous, Andrea. You don't know who's in the development anymore. There are only 12 apartments in this block, and we all know each other. So you're meeting strangers, and you don't know who they are anymore. It's really awful.
And is it going on long?
It went on all of last summer, for quite a number of months. We contacted the person, but she more or less, I won't describe what she's like. I just won't describe.
Okay. So yeah, very
it's
much...
About, it's all about herself.
Your home, your choice, then I take it was very much the attitude. Listener says, it's not the responsibility of private householders to replace the lack of housing that's been neglected to be built by councils. Another texter says, unlike Airbnb house owners, landlords can't do what they want with their houses, which they also paid for. Renting a house out in Blanchardstown currently for $1,400 per month, and next door is renting for $2,300. And another listener says 33% of every hotel room in Ireland is now taken for immigration. This in turn pushes up the price of what is available to absolutely ridiculous prices. Airbnb has a serious part to play in helping people to holiday and to take a break in Ireland. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Keep your views coming into us. We're talking about Barcelona. They're going to ban Airbnb over the course of the next 5 years. And I want to know, do you think, should we follow suit?
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.